size of the settlements. Even there, he uses comparatives only, judging from outward appearances and from impressions. Legendary Explorers: The Life and Legacy of Hernán Cortés chronicles Cortés's life, but it also examines the aftermath of his conquest and analyzes the controversy surrounding his legacy. Origins and Background. Hernán Cortés was born on an uncertain date in 1485 in Medellín, in the Spanish province of Extremadura. A dry, dusty, and hot backwater in the southwest of Spain, Extremadura was the home of many families of noble descent who had fallen into poverty, and it would prove to be the breeding ground of a majority of the conquistadors, most of whom came from honorable lineages, but had few viable prospects in their native country. Indeed, this was the case for Hernán, son of Martin Cortés de Monroy and Catalina Pizarro Altamirano. Through his mother, Cortés was a distant cousin of the conqueror of Peru, Francisco Pizarro. Though he is commonly referred to as Hernán today, he called himself Hernando or Fernando during his life. The Spanish nobility was traditionally a warrior caste forged in the Reconquista, the slow but ultimately successful reincorporation of the Iberian Peninsula into Christendom at the expense of the Arabic-speaking Muslims who had ruled it for centuries. Cortés's father, a captain in the military, had remained true to the martial vocation of his class, but it held little tangible reward now that the Moors had been finally driven back into North Africa in 1492, the same year that Christopher Columbus first arrived in the New World, thinking it was Asia. Apparently a bright and ambitious child, Hernán Cortés left home for the prestigious University of Salamanca at the age of 14 with the intention of studying law. His parents, like many today, probably saw the legal profession as a steady and promising career path for their son, one which might help him restore the family's diminished fortune. But Cortés only remained at the university for 2 years, thus falling short of earning a degree. His evident impatience with the need for prolonged, sustained study reveals the restlessness and impetuousness that would become one of his most prevalent character traits. On the other hand, his legal studies provided him with knowledge that would later prove valuable when he was attempting to justify his claims to the land he conquered across the ocean and negotiate with the Spanish crown over his share of its wealth. Thus, two of the qualities that Cortés would share with later conquistadors are evident from his early choices. First, he did not wish to follow a slow, gradual route to wealth and prominence. He wanted to achieve these things in a dramatic and immediate fashion. Second, he was willing to use the most influential forms of knowledge of the time and place, especially law and theology, to pursue his own aims, but he had no real reverence for learning itself. His departure from Salamanca set a pattern. As he would do again and again, he left behind the old, the familiar and established, for the new, the uncertain and the adventurous. Spain's great writer Miguel de Cervantes, in a story about a man from Extremadura, described the Americas as the refuge for the despairing sons of Spain, the church of the homeless, the asylum of homicides, the haven of gamblers and cheats, the general receptacle for loose women, the common center of attraction for many, but effectual resource of very few. As a contemporary view of the conquistadors and other arrivistes in the new colonies, Cervantes's is not a flattering portrait of what motivated men like Cortés to make the dangerous crossing of the Atlantic. And yet, from what we know of his personality and early life, it seems like an accurate enough characterization of the man and the circles he frequented. A restless, mischievous young man, he found employment as a notary in the port city of Seville, but he soon found himself attracted to the new lands to the west, for which ships were departing regularly from Seville's harbor, and from which new wealth was arriving and remaking the city's economy. When he departed for the island of Hispaniola in 1504, the memory of Columbus's discoveries was still fresh in the minds of the Spanish public. Columbus himself was still alive, but as a result of his disastrous stint as governor of Hispaniola, he had been relieved of his title of Viceroy of the Indies, and the crown had moved to centralize control over the new colonies and ensure their profitability. And though Columbus's voyage to the New World is remembered as one of the seminal events of the last millennium at the time, it still represented a bit of a disappointment. After all, Columbus's goal had been to reach Asia and ensure Spain's access to the trade in luxurious commodities